Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we are so thankful for the communications that I receive from you, dear people. I enjoy your letters and your wee notes, and I just trust you keep on sending them, will you? They're very, very encouraging, and some, of course, are in need. We try to help all we can in this matter. But I do value so much your prayers, that the Lord may take the Word, the study of the Word of God, and make it a real living reality, not only in your heads, but in your hearts, in your very life. Transformed lives are what God wants to see, and by the way, that's what the world wants to see too. Transformed lives. And as you take up these men, like Moses, for example, how like you and I these men are. And we were discussing with the objections of Moses to his call to lead Israel out. And again, I want to bring before your mind this fact. Moses must have confidence in God before he can lead Israel out. This is what God is dealing with. So he said to Moses when he was 80 years of age, herding a bunch of sheep over there in the desert, "Come on, I'll get busy. I've seen my people, and I've heard their mournings and their groanings, and I'm come down to deliver them. Now it's time to get moving." He said, his first objection was, "Who am I?" "Well, I'll be with you, but who are you?" Do you remember when God gave us his eternal name, which is Jehovah? "This is my name forever." And then he hides behind the unbelief of the people, which you have in chapter 4. "The people won't believe me." So the Lord said, "What have you got in your hand?" He said, "A rod," and threw it down. You know, a rod is only a dried up old stick. As I said a while ago in preceding lesson, God can take anything, anything. He can take a worm and thrash a mountain if he wants to. He can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 people. And he can take a rod and split the ocean. He can take you and me, just what you have. People today say to me, "Mr. Mitchell, if I only had this gift, if I only had that gift." Listen, friend, if God wanted you to have that gift, he would give it to you. All he wants is you. He wants you. He doesn't ask for your money. He doesn't ask for anything but you. And when he has you, he takes what you have and uses it. Whether it's a rod, or whatever it may be, maybe 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It may be a worm, I don't know. He just takes anything. And I'll tell you, my friend, if you look over the men who are ministering the Word of God in the power of the Spirit of God, you won't find many great ones, that is, great according to the flesh. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, he takes the weak things, he takes the things that are nothing to confound the things that are. And I come back again to the fact that when Moses was 40 years of age, he was too fast. He was depending upon his own ability. A man who was mighty in word, mighty in deed, in the Egyptian Empire. Now he's a sheep herder. He hides behind his own unbelief. He hides behind the unbelief of the people. So God gives him 2 signs. "Throw your rod down." It became a serpent. "Pick it up again." It became a rod. "Put your hand in your bosom." Came out leprous. What a revelation of the human heart. As our Lord could say, you remember, out of the heart of man proceed certain things. I think there are 13 of them in that passage. Mark chapter 7. You and I have in our hearts the seed of every sin known. I'm not accusing you of doing everything. What I'm telling you is that there is in your heart, out of the heart of man, proceeds all these things. As the prophet says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And the only one who can cleanse your heart from sin, my friend, is Jesus Christ, God's Son. He came to put away your sin. And the precious blood of Christ can cleanse you from all sin. As Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I know the average person turns their back on this. I'm well aware of this fact. But it doesn't change the truth. that when a sinner, I don't care who they are, come and really put their trust in the Savior. You see, you can't have salvation until you trust the Savior. This is the thing. I want you to get this in your heart. There can be no salvation without a Savior. And when we have faith in the Deliverer, in the Savior, then we experience deliverance. Then we experience forgiveness. Then we experience salvation. But it's a matter between you and Him. It's a personal relationship. And just as Moses here and God, the issue is between God and a man. That's the amazing thing, that God should even deal with anybody. But this is the grace of God. It's between you and God. It's not between God and a nation. It's not between God and a great big people, oh no. It's not between God and the mighty, oh no. It's between God and every sinner, every man has in his heart all the known sins that men have in their catalog. And the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from every sin. Their sins and their iniquities, says God, I will remember no more forever. Now we give them a third sign, verse 9 of chapter 4. It came to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken to your voice, that you will take water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now remember that the Nile River was more or less worshipped by the Egyptians. Their whole life depended upon the Nile. It watered their country, you see. And he took water, and he poured on the ground, it became blood. Now you have here, in a way, God's judgment upon obstinate unbelief. Judgment must be the consequence of refusing God's testing. Here God gives a sign to Israel through Moses. Pour water on the ground, shall become blood. A sign to Israel that their God was omnipotent, the only God. However, the pouring of the blood upon the ground out of the Nile to the ground became blood was judgment to Egypt. I said a while ago, judgment is always the consequence of refusing God's testimony. And when Egypt turned its back and refused the testimony of God, then the judgment of God came upon them. And I want you to mark as we go through these chapters, and I'm going to mention it again, the judgments of God upon Egypt were primarily against the gods of Egypt. I want you to mark that. Now let's come down to his third objection. Now the first objection was, who am I? Why pick on me? Nothing. Second objection, he hid behind the unbelief of the people. And God gave them three signs. The rod, which became a serpent, and you have his hand in his bosom, became leprous and put it back in again, became clean. The third one, pour water on the blood, on the ground, became blood. Now, wouldn't you think that would have been enough? Huh? Oh, no. Human heart isn't like that. Now, don't you be too hard on Moses, because, you know, that's just like you and me. We fight against what God wants us to do. We want to go our own way. We want to live in self-will. We want to do what we want to do. And the result is that God has to deal with us. Now comes the next one. The third objection, now he stands behind his inefficiency. And Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech, and with a slow tongue. The Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And behold, he cometh forth to meet you, and when he seeth you, he'll be glad in his heart, and you shall speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth, and I will be with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. He shall be your spokesman unto the people. He, even he, that is Aaron, even he shall be to you instead of a mouth, and you shall be to him instead of God. And you shall take his rod in your hand, wherewith you shall do signs. And just let me stop here now for a few moments. I notice his excuse, first of all. What's his excuse? I can't talk. Even after all the demonstration of God's power, he says, I can't talk. And then you have the divine assurance in verse 11 and 12. I'll be with you. Who made man's mouth? Oh, the patience of God. Not only with Moses, but with you and me. Isn't God sufficient for every need? I, the Lord, ought to silence all the objections of our hearts. I'm with you. Well, who will you send? You know, I don't know about you folk, but I can sure feel for Moses. If you don't mind me giving you a personal testimony, when I was saved, I was working in a machine shop. And about less than 18 months after I was saved, by the grace of God, I received a letter from some friends in Saskatchewan, Canada, if I would go and preach in their little old meeting. It's held in a store building, one of these little villages on the prairies. Well, I had a job, and I didn't want to go. But, you know, it just seemed that the Lord said, this is what you're to do. And I balked. And I said to the Lord, just like Moses did, why pick on me? Lord, you know I can't talk. I used to stutter. And the more excited I got, of course, the more I stuttered. So I said, Lord, you've chosen the wrong man for this job. I can't talk. I stutter. I've always stuttered as a kid. And I fought that thing. How gracious the Lord was with me. I pray, and the more I prayed, the more I realized I had to go. And I even got to the place where I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. You send somebody else, and I'll support that fellow. I'll give him half my wages. I'll split my wages in two and give that fellow half. You send somebody else, but don't pick on me. I say the Lord is very gracious, and I want to go into all the detail of it, of how the Lord worked on me and what happened. But I went down. My boss, when I left, told my boss what I was going to do. He laughed and he said, "You a preacher?" And I said, "Well, I agree with you, Bill. I'm no preacher." He said, "Well, couple of weeks and you'll be back. The job's waiting for you." I said, "Well, thanks very much." And he laughed. He said, "I know you'll be back in 2 weeks." And I'm telling you very frankly, I was ready to go back in 2 weeks. Then the Lord put me in a blizzard. And I couldn't get back. And so on. Oh, the patience of God with us fellows. The patience of God. I didn't have a real great big desire to go out and preach. Oh no. I'd rather work in the machine shop. Let somebody else do the preaching. I stuttered. In fact, my first few months on the prairies, I used to walk the prairies trying to say righteousness. Boy, I could hardly say it. In fact, when I read any word starting with an R, I would dodge the word. I tell you, friend, I can understand Moses in this manner. I can't talk. I just can't talk. No use talking to me. I'm slow of speech and I can't talk. And when God says, I'll be with your mouth, I'll meet every need. I'll put words in your mouth. I'll teach you what you shall say. Just think of having a teacher like God. God says, I'll teach you. I'll be with your mouth. I'll put words in your mouth. I'll do the whole business. All he wants of you and me, Moses, be my channel. What he wants is obedience. He wants us to know him. He's sufficient. Please don't alibi. Any call of God you get, don't try an alibi why you shouldn't take it. I tell you, there are people today, I believe there are men today in business whom God dealt with in years past who should be out ministering the word of God. Now, it may be true there are others who went out on some emotional urge of something. I'm not judging in that case, but I do know that there are those who turned their back on the call of God, and they stood behind the fact that they had no gifts. But God has all the gifts. All he wants is you. All he wants is me. Right where you are right now. And maybe I'm talking to some young fellow, some young woman. And even you older ones. You say, Mr. Mitchell, I've lived my life. I'm in my 70s. All right, my friend, you can become an intercessor for those who are out ministering the word of God. You can become an intercessor for lost men and women. You can become an intercessor for those who are in need. There are many things you can do. All God wants is you. All God wants is me. Now notice again in verse 14. And the anger of the Lord is the first time. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. All the way through, God has been, very gentle, very long-suffering with this man Moses. But when he balks now, God says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron your brother? He's a good speaker. You want somebody to lean on? I tell you, my friend, this is not humility when he said, I can't talk. This is nothing else but unbelief. God has revealed himself. He's even manifested the spectacular to him, the miraculous. And he's still, how like you and me. We think we're humble, we're not. We're just plain unbelief. God wants to work in you and in me. But you know, self has to be set to one side. This is the secret of strength to be used of God. Do you remember in the book of Corinthians, second book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 10? Then you go over to chapter 12, 9 and 10, where Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities at the power of Christ. In fact, now, let me give you a little word. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, Paul had to learn that. But notice that, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. How many of us do that? We growl and we grumble because of infirmity. Paul says, not I. I know what kind of a God I have, says Paul. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again I say, the Lord is very tender with us in our frailty, in our weaknesses, and so on. But when it comes to unbelief, and the anger of the Lord is manifested. And yet again I say, all objections are met with the grace of God. Okay, Moses, okay, I'll provide you with someone who'll do the speaking. Is not Aaron your brother? He's a good speaker. All objections are set to one side. And God provides a speaker. And oftentimes, and I'm going to say this, oftentimes, the one whose presence we thought was very essential to our progress and to our success afterwards proves the source of deepest sorrow. I have in mind chapter 32 of the book of Exodus, when Moses was up in the mountain receiving the law. You remember Aaron down below in the desert with the people makes a molten calf. He moltens a calf, and they worship the calf and all that went with it. It went into idolatry. So this one whom you wanted to do the speaking became a source of real sorrow to Moses afterwards. You see, human props are just weak reeds, that's all. Now he's going to go. Okay, I'll go, Lord. Now I've got somebody to lean on. Well, why not go with God alone? Huh? Why not go with God alone? Oh, how, again, I come back to it. How like Moses we are. And these things are put down here for our admonition. And I repeat it, God is tender with us in our frailty. God is long-suffering with us in our weaknesses. But when it comes to unbelief, when it comes to unbelief, my friend, then you have the judgment of God. So you have it here. I'll put words in your mouth, and there Moses is going to have a human reed to lean on, which afterwards broke under the strain. I just leave it with him today. We'll go on with Moses in our next lesson, but I want this to be very clear in your mind. Please, please, you come in the presence of God and give yourself to him. And don't hide behind your inefficiency. Don't hide behind your weaknesses. Don't hide behind anybody else. Or don't depend upon your frailty. You look to him. He is the one who has all the power, all the authority, all the strength, all that you need to do the job he wants you to do. He wants you. He wants me. Whatever our condition, whatever our circumstance, he just wants you and he wants me. Now the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.